Welcome to this episode of Wildcast. I'm your host, Matt Blymeyer. In our final episode of season one of Wildcast, I am pleased to welcome one of the most decorated athletes and the most decorated golfer in Penn College history. We'll get into all of his accolades later. Please join us in welcoming Peyton Musina. Peyton, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. This is fun.
So in just 3 years at Penn College as a member of the golf team, I just showed you my notes. Give me a second as I get through all of these. Three-time first team United East All-Conference selection, a two-time All-Region selection, the United East Player of the Year. You made the cut twice at the NCAA tournament. You're the first ever not only golfer, student-athlete of any sport since Penn College became an NCAA program to be an All-American. That's a lot in 3 years. Has anybody ever like said all that all at once to you? And there's more that's not in there that just didn't make the cut.
No, I've never lined it up and read them all off like that. But I just found out that the whole All-American thing, that nobody had ever gotten that before a couple weeks ago. And that was really like when they announced it. I found out nobody had ever had an NCAA All-American status, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, we get the emails when they come in, and you know, it says embargoed, and when you get that from that association, you know that you have a player on it because they only send it out to the schools that have a player. So it was like last year when you got your first All-Region, it was like, we got this thing, it said embargoed. I'm like, this is neat. Peyton was All-Region. And so this year on our end, you get this and you're like, no way. And then you start scrolling down the email and you're like, all right, that was really neat. That was really cool to see. You kind of cap your career off with a well-deserved All-American honor. Let's rewind 3 years. You didn't start at Penn College, but thankfully for us, and I think for you, you made your way here. Let's talk about leaving high school. You first went to Averett and then made your way to Penn College. Let's talk about the decision to come back closer to home and try something a little bit different.
Yeah, well, I chose to go to Averett in the first place because it's down there. It's on the border of Virginia and North Carolina, and the weather's great, and coach is a great dude, and a whole lot of things. And I got down there and just kind of realized that you got to choose your battles. And when it comes to like picking a school, there's more things that go into it than the weather and the guys that you're surrounded with. So I made up my mind that I was probably going to transfer, and I wanted to get back home to where I, you know, had a better support system. A lot of my friends from high school were still in the area. So I decided to come back to Penn College, and I'm glad I did, and I stayed here for 3 years, and I wouldn't change a thing.
And oddly, at the time you were making the decision, we had a coach, Matt Hiley was our coach at the time. He had done a great job. He had just won a conference championship the year before. He had decided, it was a January, February, he had to step away from coaching because he got another position outside of college somewhere else. And then in steps this person that you know really well. At the time, we had no idea. We just, you know, hired Rob because he had helped out with the golf team prior to that, and he loved golf, and, you know, he was the right guy for the job. But you've known Rob for 10 years.
Yeah, so I tell a lot of people this story. I was driving back to school at Averett from Montoursville, so it's like a seven-hour drive, and at some point, Rob called me on the phone, and I just got talking to him, and this is probably in, I want to say, January or February. I got talking to him about, yeah, I think I'm going to transfer. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I think at this point I'm going to go to Penn College and play. And he kind of, I don't know if he thought I was messing with him or what, but he was like, you're not being serious, are you? And I said, yeah, I am. And he's like, I think I'm going to end up coaching there. And so that was really cool because I had known Rob, I'm going to say, yeah, probably almost 10 years. As long as I've been around Williamsport Country Club, Rob's always been around. I played sports against his son growing up. And, you know, it was a really cool kind of right place, right time for us to get matched up here. And we had a good dynamic for all these years. And it was really fun.
Yes. And so 3 years with the two of you together, three conference championships. I mentioned all the things that you did individually. What's the 3 years been like just in general? But, you know, to do it with somebody you've known for a while, that's got to be, I'm sure it has its pros and cons. Familiarity sometimes breeds certain things, but in this case, good things, because success is what you had individually and as a team with Rob leading it. Certainly a lot there.
Yeah, the good side of it was he had kind of known me and known the progress I had made and was trying to make. And he's always seen like the bigger picture in the end. So it was really good. Sometimes I feel bad looking back. Sometimes I kind of got mad at him in a tournament or whatever. I'd probably make his life a little harder than it needed to be. Mm-hmm. But he knew it was going and he wore it well and all was good in the end.
That's awesome. With all the accomplishments you've had, oddly, some people might find this interesting. You're not the most accomplished person in your family. You have a father that may have a bust in Cooperstown who influenced you quite a bit, not only athletically, but to get involved in this sport. Tell us who I'm talking about and tell us the influence that he's had on you to get you into golf.
Yeah, my dad is, I unfortunately wasn't around to see much of it, but I have a couple memories of him pitching for the Yankees towards the end of his career. From what I'm told, he had a lot of good years, and at the end of the day, he made it into Cooperstown, which is kind of the end-all, be-all goal of anybody that plays, is to be immortalized in the sport. But I learned a lot growing up around him in the first place, before golf was even on my mind. Just like, he really inspired me to think, you know, you can kind of become whatever you want to become. If you want to be a professional baseball player, you can do that. If you want to be an engineer, you can do that. Whatever it is you decide, it's like, you know, you wake up every day and eat breakfast next to the guy, you're like, hey, he's just like the rest of us. I guess he got me into golf because we played a fundraiser scramble tournament, and it was the first time I'd ever stepped on a golf course when I was like, I was either 14 or 15. And like, I kind of told him, I was like, that was really fun. Like, you want to come back and do this again in a couple of days? And he's like, well, you know, it's the middle of baseball season. Let's not ruin our baseball swing. And then not too many months later, it became like, let's not ruin our golf swing.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish I got into it earlier, but he definitely played a big part. And for a couple of years, he had to drive me to the course every day, and he always was willing to do that. So I thank him for that a lot.
He is now the high school coach, right? Was he your high school coach?
Yes. Okay. So Montoursville High School had a team 15 or 20 years ago. And they had it, and then the coach retired, and they couldn't find anybody to fill the coaching position. So all the Montoursville kids played for Loyal Sock across the creek. And my dad was like, well, hey, if we have enough kids that are playing for Loyal Sock, we could probably just field a team and I'll coach, because he didn't coach football. So in the fall, he got the team together, and we had like six or seven guys the first, my sophomore year was the first year we did it, and he's still coaching there now.
Golf is interesting in that it really is, it's individual. There's obviously the team aspect to it, but it is very individualized. And it can be lonely and unforgiving at times. I mean, you know this better than anybody. You can, you know, for someone like you, shoot a 69 one day and an 80 the next, and have no idea why. What's the process like developing into an elite golfer, number one, but then kind of fine-tuning those small things? Because in golf, it's really sometimes a half an inch here or there that determines where the ball may or may not go.
Yeah, 100%. They talk about like performance psychology these days and how the mind is a very important factor in how you perform. And kind of the idea is like what you think of yourself, you tend to become. And it's a very individual sport. And yeah, you do have a team playing alongside of you, but if you start the day off and it's not going well, it's still you out there. You can't go, you can't make a call to the bullpen, you can't say, coach, take me out, like, need somebody else, it's just not my day. You got to stay out there and play, and I think that's where the mental side of things comes in. You got to just like kind of toughen it out, find a way to get the ball in the hole, and it's a grind. Some days you walk off more mentally tired than physically tired, and it's the way it works.
Is there a go-to you have? And I'm asking for a friend. I don't think that's me, but let's say you three putt like twice. How do you get over that to move on? I really need to know. Please tell me.
I just like to get myself in the right frame of mind before I hit every shot. And if if I don't do that, then I kind of go like, how'd you expect it to go well if you weren't prepared to hit it? And if I put myself in the right frame of mind, and sometimes I'm just incorrect, sometimes, you know, you hit the wrong club, or you hit a bad putt, you thought it was downhill and it wasn't, so you're 4 feet short and you missed a 4-footer. I just like to try to find the root of the problem, why it occurred, whatever. And I can deal with that easier than I can, like, just kind of saying, oh, why'd you 3-putt? And it's like, well, there's 3 shots in there. Like, what happened to get to the 3rd putt? You had to miss the 1st 2. So it's not like I don't like to dwell on stuff too much, but sometimes you got to kind of sit there and say, hey, like, let's hold yourself a little more accountable here, and let's be a little more focused on each shot.
Yeah, so more analytical than emotional when those shots.
I try to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes the emotion comes out.
Yeah, which sometimes is probably well-placed. Sometimes you may need to let some steam out, and so you're not building up in all tense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to find a way to do it respectfully. You can't be, like, breaking clubs and throwing stuff, but it, like, you might yell at it at some point. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, like I said, I yelled at Rob, and
yeah,
he knew I was just mad, but it did happen.
Yeah, and, you know, he said in his, he's more of a mentalist than a psychologist when it comes to match day. So I'm sure he was expecting, and, you know, he'll bear the brunt of that in order to help his guy.
I warned him some days. I said, I might get mad at you here, and just know that I'm saying, like, not at you. It's just.
I just got to get it out.
Yeah, it's just to the air, and you're standing there.
Yeah. As a college, we've made NCAA tournament 3 times in your career. 2 of those 3 times, you made the cut individually. And man, completely different experiences weather-wise. 2 years ago, you're in Vegas, and it's just super hot. And we had talked about this before this past year when we went up to New York. You were just like, you know, 4 rounds, and the heat was mm-hmm. insane. And then you come this year, and, you know, you're up in New York, and you get the rain. I mean, my goodness, it was soaked. Like, there was standing water on it. Tell us your experience of one, making the cut there as a junior, and then just the difference in temperature and how that really impacts a game, especially golf. One's super hot, one's super rainy. It's not perfect at all, and you have to adjust and adapt, and no one's probably going to have their best games in either of those weathers.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the trip to out to Vegas, you know, you have a travel day. I don't know, personally, like, sitting on a plane doesn't really count as rest to me. Like, I don't feel that much better when I wake up. So you get out there, and then a lot of people don't know this, but we play 2 practice rounds because there's 2 different golf courses for the first 2 days of the national tournament. So we played the one course first day, and you got to walk, and it's 105 degrees. And then you play the other course, and then the tournament starts. And then you walk 2 more rounds, you play the 2nd course, and then the 1st course. And if you make the cut, you play the 1st course 2 days in a row. So it ends up being 6 days of walking, which can be, I'm betting out in Vegas, it was probably close to 6.5-7 miles in a round of golf that you end up walking and carrying a bag, and is very, very physically demanding, especially when it's hot out and there's not a lot of shade. It was kind of one of those desert courses. So there's no tall trees to stand underneath or anything like that. And, you know, some of the days end up being 6-hour rounds, and you just got to kind of let your mind wander and then bring it back to attention for each shot, and then let it wander, because it's too hard to stay focused for 6 or 6.5 hours out there. It's almost impossible. So it was quite the switch up when we went up to Rochester this year. And I think, if I remember, it was no warmer than like 52 degrees after the 2nd practice round, and it rained a little bit the first day of the tournament, and then it rained a lot the 2nd day of the tournament. They actually moved us up to an 8 o'clock shotgun the 2nd day, and by putting all the guys on the course at that, I think that round took over 6.5 hours. It was one of the longest days of my life, is what it felt like. Mm-hmm. And one of those days that, you know, you walk off there more mentally exhausted than physically, just because it's so much time, like, kind of trying to lose focus and then bring it back for a shot and then lose it again. And it's just a process, and the temperature and rain and wind, and it all factors into kind of how much you got to keep your mind where it needs to be.
In the last 3 years, do you have a favorite moment individually for you, and then favorite moment as a member of a team? And I say this to anybody, the team thing could be anything from, you know, the three-peat or the first championship to just you know, driving in the van to all of the tournaments you have to go. So favorite moment individually for Paint Mucina in the last 3 years?
Individually was probably at the end of all of it. When the All-American thing was a really cool, was a really cool thing to read my name under the list because of last year. I felt like I played really good in the fall of this year, but in the spring I didn't really have a good semester and I didn't really expect to get it. My performance at NCAAs was solid, but I didn't end up finishing that well, so I wasn't sure if it was gonna be enough. And last year I thought I played solid and then finished really well. From my understanding, I missed the criteria for All-American my junior year by like one spot. Like, I think I was the first guy out. And that kind of was like a punch in the gut because I was like, man, I don't know if I can finish better than, you know, 17th at Nationals, right, and all this stuff. And then this year going into Nationals, I was fourth in the region and like 30 something in the country. And I, from my understanding, you had to be third in the region or you had to finish top 15 at Nationals. So I was like, oh boy, I better finish top 15 or else I'm not going to get it. And oh, it ended the way it did. And I finished somewhere in the 40s. I don't remember. But I didn't really expect to get it. So to end up getting All-American after all that was kind of a big weight off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I found out I was the first one in the school history. And that was an even cooler feeling to understand that.
Yeah, just so you know, last week we have an all-college meeting to start each semester. The president addresses the faculty and staff and, you know, he highlights certain department successes. And some of the notes he got from our department, he mentioned you in front of the entire college staff and faculty as becoming the first All-American. So the entire school, if they didn't know, they know it now because Dr. Reed let them all know a couple of days ago.
Okay, I gotta thank him for that. And then next time I see him.
How about favorite team moment?
Team moment was probably, I'm going to say when we won conference the second time, the one that sent us out to Vegas. Because just as like not a lot of Division III teams get to play tournaments where they're flying across the country, you know, and our first national one, we drove to Kentucky and then kind of we were all like, hey, you know, if we win this, we get to go to Vegas. Like that's a flight out and everything.
Yeah.
And it was just a really cool experience. I remember being in the van on the way to the airport. And everybody's got their bags in the roller bags and we're going to throw them on the plane. And I think that was kind of like validating the first conference championship with a second one and getting to go to Vegas on a plane. That was a cool way to verify your status as like conference champion.
Yeah. Rob always texts like updates during tournaments. And I think at some point he knew during that year or 2 years ago that you guys had locked it in at some point. And I think the text I got was Vegas, baby. I was like, all right, I think he knows we're winning this thing. So, and you know, Rob, that's just kind of his personality.
Yeah.
That was cool to see that text. And it was like, wait, what do you mean? Give me more. But
yeah,
just had to wait for you guys to get finished before we kind of promoted that. All right. So what's next for Paint Mucina athletically? Rob tells me you spent the summer kind of busy. Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, I played a lot of amateur events this summer. The Golf Association of Philadelphia hosts some really good ones down, you know, in the southeastern part of the state, some in Delaware, and the Pennsylvania Golf Association has some other ones scattered throughout the state. I played the state open, the state AM, the Delaware amateur, the Patterson Cup was just a couple weeks ago, and then the Delaware Open is next week. So I'm headed down to this is southern part of Delaware for that. I was fortunate enough to play the Sonny Hanna amateur back in June, which is one of the more prestigious ones in the country. That was really fun. I didn't have a very good week, but it's really cool. I actually played with the one kid who just lost in the final of the U.S. Amateur. So I got to, you know, it kind of exposed me to some talent and what ground I got to make up on these guys if I want to compete with them here in a couple of years.
Are these tournaments, are they four-round tournaments with a practice? Is it like a full week kind of deal, or how do these kind of shake out?
The Sonny Hanna is kind of run like a tour event. Yeah, it's four rounds. There's a cut after three, which is fortunate for me because I got an extra day out of it. I was there for the whole week and played a couple practice rounds, and they were going to do a sponsor amateur event, but it got rained out the second day. So the other ones are just kind of smaller versions of that. Like there's three-day events or two-day events, but they play three rounds in 2 days. For the most part, you can show up and play a practice round if you want, but it's not a whole week thing. It's a, you know, a couple days here and there, and then, you know, you're on to the next one.
Is the goal for you Q school, and how does this advance you to that?
Yeah, so there's a common phrase in competitive golf that, like, everything you'd play is just a preparation for Q school of some sort. And there's nowadays there's a couple, like, you can play the PGA Tour Q school, which is the one everybody knows about, but there's also, like, Latin America's, or now it's called PGA America's Tour. They have their own version of Q school, kinda, and you can get status and go play these events in Latin America or somewhere up in Canada. There's a couple different kind of tours that have Q school, and that is the goal. I actually need to sign up for it, like, soon, the deadline soon, but I'll probably go to Q school this fall, and I kind of am like, I got to keep in mind the bigger picture here, because, like I told you, I kind of got a late start to golf, and I understand that probably right now I'm not fully prepared to play, like, high level professional golf, but I think that I am in a position where it's possible to reach that point. So for the time being, it's going to be kind of go to Q school, see how far I can go, and mainly use it as, like, a comparison. Like, okay, here's the guys that I'm competing against. What's this going to be like if this is what I'm doing for the next couple of years? Because at some point I got to beat all these guys. So that's kind of this year, fresh out of college, especially because I haven't had the best summer. I haven't been playing great. I've been playing okay, but not as well as I'd like to be playing. So it's going to be like, let's see how far I can go, but I want to learn from it just as much as I want to get out of it and learning what I put into it in practice.
Very nice. Business administration major. Are we using that degree yet? Or are we waiting for golf to kind of figure itself out? What do you want to do? What are your plans to do outside of golf whenever golf at this level concludes for you?
Yeah, the first choice would be to play professional golf at as high of a level as I can reach. I could see myself instead being like an instructor, maybe like teaching the golf swing or whatever I become more knowledgeable in the next couple of years. But I do know that, like, there's a business factor to everything. And if I end up becoming a swing instructor, you know, that's a kind of a personal brand that you create by doing that. And there's marketing, and there's all different things, all different pieces to it that I would have a little bit of an idea of what to expect because of the degree here. And I think that's why I really liked taking the business major route, is because it kind of leaves a bunch of doors open, and it doesn't really funnel me into or bottleneck me into anything that I can't kind of apply it to.
Right.
Because you can apply business to just about everything you're going to do in life. And that's why I loved it. And that's why I enjoyed learning all the things that I learned. And I wouldn't change that either.
Great way to wrap this up. Peyton, first of all, thank you for everything you've done for the department on the course, off the course over the last 3 years. It's been really neat to watch. It's been fun on our end to promote and write about and witness. We look forward to watching your journey. You have a bunch of fans here. I can't think of a better way to wrap up season one of Wildcast. Again, Peyton, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and best of luck to you and in your future endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much. This is awesome.